everyone, welcome back to another episode of Bias Check-In.
Hi everyone, thank you for tuning in. Let's jump right in. Susie, what are we checking in with?
Well, this is our first Back to Basics of the year.
Whoop!
Back to Basics is our monthly series to wrap the month up with an episode focused on the fundamentals of IO psychology. A refresher for those who maybe don't work within this area of our field, or an introduction for the completely new or curious. This week, we wanted to talk about the cornerstone of so many IO processes: selection, performance evaluation, talent and workforce planning, testing, learning and development. They all rely on and should begin with the humble job analysis.
A job analysis is exactly what it sounds like. An IO psychologist, often internal, but it could be an external consultant too, looks at a role or family of jobs to determine absolutely everything that has to do with that job. The knowledge required, skills, abilities, and other characteristics that the right candidate must possess to fulfill all the tasks and duties that that comes with.
Well, a bit more than just looking, job analysis are based on historical data, the existing and previous job descriptions for the role, and often survey results or interviews of everyone interacting with it, the direct supervisor, coworkers, the incumbent, so the person currently in the role, and if it applies, any direct reports of the position as well. This is then compiled in a written report and results in the new job description, and often highlights anything which might have changed from the previous iteration.
So why do we do this? It might seem obvious, as some historical points for some roles. Think of technological updates, like when computers became more common and administrative staff everywhere started being required a certain word type per minute ratio. Who knows how many tech job postings in the next few years are going to mention must be familiar with ChatGPT. Beyond this, however, all jobs evolve over time, through individual job crafting or through department organizational needs, prioritizing different duties or adding new ones.
And as we mentioned in the opening of the episode, the why might also be a different purpose. While the basics of a job analysis will be very similar, if we're conducting one to hire a new person to the organization, it will be used very differently than if we're the basis for developing a new training for that existing employees, or even though the role is the same and requires the same KSAOs.
For the same reason, there is no hard rule on how often you, as the resident IO, might need to conduct one. Can you believe it? We made it this far into the episode before saying it depends. But it will depend on factors such as your industry, any external developments of technology, personnel attrition, whether your company is expanding, all kinds of things. At the very bare minimum, you should take a look at the role description and check in with the hiring manager before a job posting is made, and make sure that the information you're about to publish is accurate and necessary.
This is a point that cannot be stressed enough. The accuracy of a job analysis has a lot of potential ramifications and impacts lots of people, from the incumbent, future hires, and everyone who will be interacting with their work. Now multiply that across a whole organization, you can guess how JAs can either support or seriously hinder organizational effectiveness.
And for this reason, multiple stakeholders should be involved in the process and held accountable at the same time. A job analysis is not a wish list. It is a comprehensive summary of the minimum requirements to satisfactorily complete a job. I'm going to pick on the same thing again. We might see ChatGPT pop up on more and more job descriptions moving forward. But how do we know where it's actually needed and where it was added to the requirements as the new shiny thing, which we should like candidates to know, but we don't actually really need.
Okay, moving away from AI for a second, think of your own job searching moments. Remember looking at some job postings and thinking, geez, anything else? I do not need a PhD in astrophysics to do this job. Did the person writing this actually know what they wanted to hire, or are they hiring someone who they want to promote up immediately? Those are all marks of a job analysis gone a bit wayside. It became a bit more of a wish list for the candidate who has it all instead of the candidate who has enough to get the job done.
And to be fair, I do remember learning about this in class. And at first, my overachiever instinct did kick in. Like, okay, but what if we do want to hire the candidate who has it all? Why would that be a bad thing to want to hire the best?
Well, this is an acceptable reason from the point of view of an overachieving candidate, maybe. And to be fair, you can always be the go-getter who shows up to the job and goes above and beyond, if that's you. But from the organizational perspective, that cannot be the expectation. It is definitely safe for legal reasons and a lot more equitable to anchor the JD in the data we collect. So based on the minimum qualifications needed, and even adding that preferred section at the end. But definitely not basing a process on the arbitrary, well, it would be cool if they spoke 7 languages and already had an Emmy, a Grammy, and an Oscar for an entry-level accountant role. It can be a cool skill, but irrelevant when it comes to your job description. If it's not strictly job-related and job analysis supported, no content should make it to the job description or to whichever the process you're supporting, like performance assessment for promotion or the learning objectives for a training and development session, or even like a test for professional development.
And as you were touching on, this is a whole lot more legally sound. It cannot be stressed enough. In the worst case scenario, having that solid anchor and that data is something that you can always go back on if any applicants or employees perceive the slight or have claims of discrimination. This is not to say that, oh, you conducted a job analysis, that's all you need for a solid, equitable organization. Not saying that. But it is the bare minimum due diligence and a very necessary step.
So we mentioned reasons for and benefits of JAs from the organizational's point of view. What about from the individual? Whether you are a job crafter and have added tasks and duties to the JD you initially came into, or whether it's through new department needs, restructuring, downsizing, it's always in your best interest to have all the work you do formally recognized and documented.
I saw a TikTok recently that suggested an approach similar to this. So it suggested that when negotiating for a promotion or a raise, the employee should bring HR into the room and demand a job analysis to adjust their pay. I have a little bit of mixed feelings on how they presented it, but I am also going to cut them some slack. It was a 60-second video. So any thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I hope that the person making this video's organization does normally do JAs. But to it sounds like they just discovered JAs and they want everyone to do JAs now. But on the basis of pay equity, I do think it would be great. Everyone with the same job gets paid the same. You have the same job title. You get paid whatever. But also JAs are not always a mean to add something to the JD. If you're thinking you may want to reduce your workload for a variety of reasons, you're planning a parental leave, personal leave, health needs, you do you. Having this conversation on how to reduce your workload in a coordinated and negotiated way with your organization is also a great example of organizational citizenship.
And with that, let us know what you thought. What was your analysis of our GA episode? Slide into our DMs on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. And let us know if you're an IO, what was the coolest job analysis you ever did? What was the weirdest role? If you're not an IO, have you ever had a job analysis done for your role or had to do it for someone you were hiring, maybe? Let us know. Leave us a voice note on anchor.fm and let us know if you want to talk about something really cool in one of our future episodes.
We'll see you in the next one. Bye.